Thoughts and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and DeBott Thursday. It's usually Trish Day. Well, Trish is on assignment. So, and then Linda's on assignment on Thursdays. So, I'm not on assignment. Here I am.
You're never
and
on
neither,
assignment.
Neither is Nathan. He's not on assignment either. Though sometimes I wonder. In the mornings. Is Nathan on assignment?
The only one I have long nights.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, it is the 20th of October, getting close to Halloween. 7:06 in the morning.
What are you going to dress up as? Do you have a plan?
I plan on turning off the lights in front of my house. Or maybe I'll turn on a light in front of my house, and then I'll rent that pit bull down the street. And as people come up, it snarls and barks and jumps at people. It'll be chained up. And, nah, I don't do that. If we do anything, if we have the light on, I just put a big bowl of candy out there.
Little
kids can fill it up.
Can I?
Yeah. You know, I used to go to the door. And but there's so few people, kids, out trick-or-treating that it's kind of like, yeah. Now I've got a bowl of Skittles.
Oh, that's why.
That's why.
Yeah. Well, you need chocolate.
Well, sometimes we put out chocolate, you know, those little Hershey Kisses and and those little baby Snickers, those things. And, you know, we've had, you know, we had some years ago that, you know, a number of kids came through, and they were cute. And then just two teenage guys, you know, they were probably 13, 14, 14, 15. They came up, knocked on the door, and I went, okay. They took a couple. You know what they're doing? They're going from house to house and staying out of trouble. I got no problem with that.
What,
when I was like,
what if they're like 42?
I just pour them a shot and off they
right.
go. When I was like, oh, I don't know, 7, you go out, and it was in Decatur, Georgia, and kids everywhere. And this is the way it was. You know, I was with another buddy of mine. He was 7 or 8. We could have been 8. And we were allowed to go out. And we had to stay in our block. But parents didn't. Parents weren't worried about that. Okay. But you come back in an hour. Okay. So, and they give us our, you know, we'd have our little mask and all that stuff on. And we take a pillowcase. Because people were generous back then.
Well, yeah, that's way more candy.
Way more candy. But on our way back, these two older kids came up. They were teenagers. They came up and took our candy. They grabbed them and ran. They didn't, like, punch us or anything like that. They just grabbed them and ran. And so I went home visibly upset. So my dad gets another pillowcase on and says, let's go. And he walked around to make sure that nobody'd be bothering me. But that wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, Chester the Molester, or it wasn't like, you know, gunfire as you're walking down the street or anything. It was just a couple kids that just, you know what, they were too old to trick or treat, but not too old to eat candy. The news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. What's the weather look like?
The weather. You know what? It is going to actually be really nice. Today's sunny with a high near 91. Tonight is going to be mostly cloudy with a low around 57. But tomorrow, sunny with a high near 85. Low around 53. That night, but the best part is we have a 30% chance of rain, and then Saturday another 30% chance of rain.
So 30% chance of rain Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Saturday night, it gets around 44. Sunday, high near 69. Sunday night, low around 47. So it just keeps getting lower and lower.
Great. We're loving that. Okay, hey, the weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane is a veteran-owned company out of Anderson that treats their customers as friends. They truly do. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. Their customer service is just outstanding. And it's that time of year again. It's starting to get cool. So you should be looking for the best deals, and that's Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call at 530-365-3793. Okay.
Real quick. Yes. Do you like chicken and waffles?
What?
Chicken and waffles.
No, you know what? I've never had it. I know it's a big thing down south, and it spread its way out.
It's National Chicken and Waffle Day.
Oh. I'm never rich. Is it fried chicken and waffles, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is it like waffles with little bits of chicken in them?
No. Well,
that would be sick.
I think I've seen it done that way once, but generally it's...
Yeah, it's fried chicken with waffles.
Right.
And that's a big thing. That's a big thing.
They put like syrup over all of it, too.
Oh, of course they do. That's the only reason for eating a waffle is syrup.
Well, yeah. And strawberries.
It's the only reason for eating french fries is to me is ketchup. The only reason to eat anything from Taco Bell is that sauce. Anything. You know, what will you have? I'll have a taco. Well, I have one taco. I have one beef taco. Would that be hamburger meat? Yes. And 22 sauces. Thank you. Yeah. They should drive up and your order, please. I'd like to buy 100 sauces. Okay. Thank you. You can put it on anything. I mean, you're not eating the burritos from Taco Bell for them.
I wonder how much nutrition.
It's kind of like Subway. Were you reading about in Subway where they've done these studies and the tuna fish in Subway is supposedly not tuna fish? It's fish and other stuff.
Well,
Subway says that's not true. We do have tuna. It tastes like tuna fish.
Isn't like tuna mostly like a bunch of mostly tuna and then like 10% other fish though or something like that?
You mean when you buy it at
the wild fish, a tuna?
Oh, no. I see what you mean. The wild caught tuna.
Yeah,
if they're caught in nets. Mm-hmm. Then there's other fish with it,
right?
And it kind of gets processed. I don't know. It's in a lot of these. It says wild caught albacore, white albacore, tuna.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think you can put other. I think it. Of course,
90% fish, 10% other.
It would have to say 95% tuna, 5%. Other fish. That's what I mean. They got to put it on it. Have you ever looked at one of those?
Yeah, not close.
Yeah. You know what? The other thing we haven't looked at real close is this parking. These new parking regulations.
Oh, it's so bad.
I've got the guy that the head of that who gave a really nice presentation the other night when I was at city council. Hopefully, the last time I have to go to city council for the next 10 years.
You gave a nice speech.
Well, thank you. The only thing I've got on this, I understand we've got to, do parking. And Mike DeQuisto says it should be free. It should be free. Hmm. And around there. And then, I've seen instances where people abuse that. You know, they stay all day, 8 hours in front of somebody's business. But on the other hand, if you had traffic enforcement and somebody's there over the 2 hours, boom, they get a ticket. And that 2 hours of parking all of a sudden cost them $25.
Right.
But we never had enforcement before. So now the question is, do we need to raise the cost of parking from 20 cents an hour to $1 an hour? It seems like we kind of like, during inflation, all the stuff that's going on.
Can't you wait?
Yeah, I mean, can't you, graduate? Like, it goes from 20 to 50, and then from 50 to $1.
I think so.
Right. I mean that's what they did with the rentals. They all went. They argued back and forth. They didn't take the
talk so long about that.
Yeah, well, but still, they got the mission done, and so right. The bottom line on it was, instead of, you know, they had 5 years. No, it's 3 years. Now we're going to put it 1,000 feet, you know, from each one. It's got to be 1,000 feet from each one, which
sounds
is,
good.
Yeah, it sounds good, but they gave and take. There was give and take there. On the parking thing, it's going to $1 an hour. But there are other things. We're going to have him on, by the way. It was a good presentation. Somebody needs to explain this, the whole, as we say, enchilada to our listeners. Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. And this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's the only area hospital with a Da Vinci Xi surgical robotic system. The system enables the surgeon to perform minimally invasive surgery with an advanced set of instruments and 3D high-definition view. They use this all the time, and it works great. What's it mean? Less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times. Only at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Dr. Pramila Dhanuka, and it's the Think Pink Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Nadine Bailey, and one of my favorite quotes is policy, not politics. I've spent my life working on policy issues like forestry, water, and private property rights. That's why I support Kevin Cry. We need someone that understands that private property rights are not about who your friends are. I know this because I have friends on both sides of this issue. We need a strong leader who will stand up for property owners. Because next time it might not be a well-funded property owner that can afford to hire an attorney. Next time it might be your small business that government comes after. Please vote for Kevin Cry for supervisor.
I am Kevin Cry, and as your District 1 supervisor, I commit to being open and will always take responsibility for my decisions. When my opponent voted to take away the property rights of our local tribe, it threatens all property owners' rights. Shasta County deserves to have a leader that will put all people first. This November 8th, vote Kevin Cry. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
Remember when filling up the gas tank didn't cost an arm and a leg? Me too.
Assemblywoman Megan Daly.
That's why I support suspending the gas tax, to provide immediate relief from high gas prices and put money back in the pockets of working families.
Megan is focused on real-life issues impacting families, reducing the high cost of living, making items like food, gas, and diapers less expensive.
And like you, I'm tired of the wildfires and smoke that plague our region.
That's why Assemblywoman Megan Daly led efforts to improve forest management, put more firefighters on the front lines, and secured millions to help fire victims and communities recover. Megan's good work has earned her the endorsements of the California Professional Firefighters and California Correctional Peace Officers Associations.
California has to do better. That's why I'm fighting to fix the policies that have failed us all. Let's get California back on track, and be sure to turn in your ballot.
Megan Daly for Assembly.
Paid for by Megan Daly for Assembly 2022.
Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again, your candidate for District 5 Supervisor. On the campaign trail, a lot of the complaints I hear seem to surround some of our county code enforcement and health department. I believe we have some great people working for our county enforcing our codes and rules, but I would like to see some of those departments to redirect their focus a bit. When we have transient camps full of filth, waste, and drug paraphernalia, I would encourage our health department to concentrate on those areas rather than the small business owners or volunteers who are already doing their best to comply with our codes and ordinances. When there are large-scale marijuana grows being conducted in our county by non-county residents and even some out-of-country growers, we need code enforcement to concentrate on the pesticides and fertilizers that are contaminating our environment rather than the unpermitted carport or the above-ground pool that isn't up to code. Shasta County is a great place to live, raise a family, and retire to, but we do have some problems. I would like to use some of our great people and county assets to help solve those problems and lessen the burden on our law-abiding citizens. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Reading loves seeing new people and families move here, looking to join our community. But when those same people run for office telling us their big city ideas can unlock the untapped potential of our home, they're wrong. It's a shame they feel that way and can't see what makes our community so special. If untapped potential means bringing San Francisco to Reading, then it's better we just leave that keg untapped. Re-electing Michael DeQuisto and voting for Marcus Pardon will make our community great. And they're going to do the work needed to safeguard our home, paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto.
Hi, this is Erin Resner, candidate for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1. I've been blessed to call Shasta County home for most of my life. My husband and I have built a business, served the community, and raised a family all right here in Shasta County. Like many counties, we have our share of complex problems, and those complex problems require real, long-term solutions. Whether addressing homelessness, mental health, or public safety, I can promise I will listen to you, work with you, and fight for you and our community. Vote for me on November 8th.
Paid for by Erin Resner for Supervisor 2022.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl and DeBott. Well, today it would be Carl Bott and Trish Clark, but Trish is on assignment. So welcome back, everybody. Hey, if you're thinking about purchasing an electric car, Reading Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. With me today is Dr. Pramila Dinuka, one of my favorite guests. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Carl. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, you know what? It's Domestic Violence Month. It's Breast Cancer Awareness. I'm sorry. Domestic Violence Awareness Month, not Domestic Violence Awareness. And Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Think Pink. Linda's really involved in those programs and has been. So where do you want to start here? One of the things that I've learned from you is there are three types of cancers that can be cured if caught early: breast cancer, cervical cancer, and colon cancer.
See, you're a good student, Carl.
Yeah. What's anything that might affect my life, I listen to. finding or identifying breast cancer early is so important.
Very. Breast cancer, and any cancer for that matter, if we detect it early, we find it early, we can cure it. If it gets late, then cure is not possible.
What about the... Okay, now... Can you go through the variety of ways? Because there's been some upgrades in finding and being able to identify a cancer. But where does it start, though? I mean, with a woman who has reached that age, and I'm not even sure what that age. What age should women start checking their breast?
Usual age for women is 40. But in some cases where you have a family history, early cancer in family history, then it goes down to even 35 or even lower, 10 years lower than the first detected member with the breast cancer. So it can be lower, even starting 25 in those cases where you have a family history of BRCA1 or 2 positive mutations. So that's why it changes, but standard average risk population, it starts at 40, and there has been some discussion making it 50, because more cancer incidences are between 50 and 60, but that's for now.
Okay, so start checking at 40. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what's the sequence that women should use?
Basically, what we do is we recommend screening for everybody. At least the first one should be between 40 and 45 for average risk patient, first one.
I'm talking about, okay, a woman.
For
them, what do they do? I mean, okay, I'm 40 or I'm 38 or whatever it is. What is the sequence? Do they start with their own self-exam?
Actually, for screening purposes, self-breast exam has not been proven to be beneficial.
Oh,
because sometimes when we are looking for very small lesions, it's not even possible to find it. But it does help when somebody's already known cancer, they have a diagnosis of cancer, and then monitoring and, you know, keeping an ongoing surveillance there, that self-breast examination does help there. For screening purposes, that's why mammogram comes into play, and it is so much beneficial because you can detect much smaller lesions that even our hands can palpate, and that's a very good way to start and achieve aim at cure.
Okay. So even if you do the, you know, because that's all I've heard is women should do self-breast exams. I guess if something's gotten large enough in there, if there's if there's a knot or something.
Right.
That, you know, that can alert them.
Any lump, any swelling, any pain, any breast bleeding from the nipples, any scarring, all those are early signs and everybody should pay attention to that. Any things which you don't feel normal, at least pay attention to it.
Don't feel normal.
No,
because you know your own body.
You know your own body. And especially palpating underarms is very useful for lymph nodes check. So along with the breast, palpating underarms is helpful there too.
What should I feel there?
If there are any lymph nodes there, you would feel lumps under the underarms. So you don't have it.
But men can get breast cancer.
Men
too.
Can get 1%.
It's rare.
1% of men can get breast cancer, especially who have the mutations. Again, familial genetic risk increases the risk for men to have mutations as breast cancer as well.
Okay, so so they go for a mammogram, and that's is that a good term? Mammogram.
Yeah. Yes.
Does the insurance patient
insurance covers that.
Covers that because it's called, it's a preventative care.
Thing.
Like,
yes.
Like your colonoscopy.
Right,
is totally covered by insurance because they want you to check.
Right.
And so it prevents from later on making more money out. Are there enough places in Reading for women to get mammograms?
MD Imaging, fortunately, is there for such a long time and doing such a great job at doing this. So you just have to schedule your mammogram there, and there are great doctors who are looking at it and checking it. And I think that's where most of our people get in the town. There are Dr. Grady's office. They do...
I can't say enough about Dr. Grady.
Yeah, he's been in town forever, and he has done such great service to our breast cancer patients. I am always thankful for him. So,
well, he has equipment there.
He has ultrasound mammogram.
You would see the ability to get that information back now.
That's
that
right.
You don't, and it's usually in hospitals or large places.
That's
but
right.
He has it right in his office. That's Dr. Grady.
Yeah.
That's down, he's got,
he's on, Bonaventura.
Bonaventura, but it's, was it North State?
Breast cancer.
Breast cancer, yeah. Or
North Valley breast cancer.
North Valley breast.
Breast, yeah.
Breast, whatever.
Yeah, North Valley.
Okay, now this is something, that I'm not trying to be humorous about this, but Linda tells me, mammograms are not real comfortable.
They are not comfortable. It is because it's basically an X-ray, right? And we are trying to press the breast to get as much information. So because dense breasts and thicker breasts, it makes it difficult to see what is through that. So it is uncomfortable, though there are newer techniques in mammograms which are coming, and they actually do 3D mammograms and high-sensitive mammograms, and that seems to improve the information that we are getting. But yes, I would agree with Linda 100%. I myself had one done recently, and I didn't tell you it is not comfortable.
I saw something that said if a man had to get the same type of pressing and squeezing on a part of his body, that there would be a new way of doing this.
Most of the things happen, right?
But they do work.
They do help. For now, that's our... There are many factors that come into play. You know, it's so cheap to get it. And
it costs nothing.
Costs nothing almost. No. Ultrasounds are there as another modality that we can use. But again, we combine them most of the time, ultrasound results, mammogram results, to get some more detailed information as to if it's genuinely a cancer or other benign conditions that can be there in the breast as well.
Okay. I'm with Dr. Pramila Dhanuka, an oncologist here in town at the
Pace
Cancer Center. And we're talking about breast cancer. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. One of those cancers that are found early, your chances of living a full life are very, very good. Very, very good. We're going to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce. Become a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce. I have a problem reading that for some reason. I'm not sure what it is.
It's a tongue twister.
Yeah, it is. It was founded in 1910. It's an association of businesses organized to improve the business climate and contribute to the economic health of its membership in the Greater Reading area. For more information or to join, give them a call at 530-225-4433 or just look them up on the internet. 7:30 in the morning, and it's...
So nice.
It is nice. It's going to be a great day today. It's going to be high near 91, and it is, I've got around 49 degrees, but I don't think that's right.
It feels nice, though.
It feels good. It's got to be up in the 50s. I'll check that. Okay, we'll be right back.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fry. A cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right. And the radio, oh, oh, oh.
Hi, I'm Amarjit Singh and I'm running for Anderson City Council. I have been part of the Anderson community for the past 16 years with my family. I work for the Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency and have volunteered for many community organizations over the past 20 years. As a member of the Anderson City Council, I focus on improving the health, safety and infrastructure. As Anderson continues to grow, so does the need for more non-profit organizations to help those living below the poverty lines. There's a need for counseling center to support those affected by domestic violence. Also part of my short-term future plans would be a free homework club, a free computer literacy program, free daycare, part-time jobs for local teens, and a cooling center. I would like to build on the city's success by supporting new businesses and local law enforcement and their efforts to reduce crime, including arson, drug abuse, and homelessness. I plan to introduce more services for veterans and seniors. Vote for me, Amarjit Singh, for Anderson City Council.
Hello, Shasta County. Chris Kellstrom here once again. I'm running for District 5 Supervisor, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. I'm not a career politician, nor do I plan on ever becoming one. I am a common-sense Shasta County native who has over 40 years of customer service experience and a background in business management. I know how to get things done and treat people fairly. I will admit I lack political experience, but I consider that a good thing in this day and age of career politicians. The current man in the White House has decades of political experience, as do many of our so-called leaders in this state. Personally, I prefer common sense over political experience, and that's what I bring to the table. We have enough career politicians in this world, and I think serving in county politics should be one's civic duty, not a career path or stepping stone to higher political office. I will push for term limits for the Board of Supervisors, and I'll refuse the retirement package on day one to prove my intentions. I believe we will get more done if a supervisor has only one or two terms in office instead of 20 years of empty promises. A vote for Chris Kellstrom is a vote for term limits. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Wind River Resort and Casino is thankful for all our guests and would like you to come down and play our Thankful Tuesday $68,000 Swipe to Win promotion. Swipe daily to win free slot play and prizes. Earn four times the entries on Sundays and Mondays. Weekly drawings Tuesdays in October and November from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Drawings every half hour. Winners will pick three game pieces off the game board for free slot play. And the highest winner every half hour will win $1,000 cash. All the details are at WinRiver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I am a combat veteran and a political moderate. I am pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I am not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
I'm Max Steiner, and I approve this ad paid for by Max Steiner for Congress.
My name is Michael DeQuisto. I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council this November. I graduated from Stanford University and USC Law School. During my 4 years on the council, we have increased police staffing to the highest level in many years. The Nurpon open space has been cleaned up, and a specialized team of law enforcement with mental health workers has been established. I want to continue this good work for the community. Please vote for me, Michael DeQuisto, this November.
Paid for by the committee to re-elect Michael DeQuisto to Reading City Council 2022.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51. In a Jefferson state of mind.
It is a beautiful day. It's going to be great out there. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, the 20th of October, 7:35 out there. Temperature somewhere in the 50s. my computer is telling me. Oh, now, okay, my computer popped up from 40 to 51. Okay. So I'm okay with that. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. If you're not getting treatment for work injuries because of denials or other things, give Patrick Gorman a call at 530-262-2168 for a free consultation. Insurance companies got lots of lawyers. And if you're not getting the treatment that you deserve, give him a call. His background is of he's military, 101st, law enforcement, became a lawyer, worked in insurance companies for a couple years in workers' comp, and said he didn't like that, so he came to the other side. So he knows what's going on with this, and this guy is he's a scrapper. So if you want somebody to represent you and you're having problems, give Patrick a call, 530-262-2168 today. I'm with one of my favorite people, Dr. Pramila Dhanuka. You're such a nice person, first of all.
Thank you.
I mean, people, they just hear you on the radio. But, we've gone out to dinner and things like that, and you're just a nice person. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Think Pink. And we talked about how important it is to get your exams. They're free for women, for mammograms. However, men, there's 1% of you out there that may get it yourself. So if you got something strange going on there, go down and see a doctor. Now, you said something during the break that I think is important, because 200 years ago, the average life expectancy was 40.
Yes.
It's now?
Actually, overall, world-wise, this is 40s for world-wise.
Okay.
Okay, so because we – and. In U.S., right now, this is the current one is 75, 76 right now.
Now, it used to be 77, 78.
Actually, it used to be almost 8, 9 years, it was 85. And it actually has dropped.
85?
Yeah, and it dropped to, before COVID, it was almost in 80s. And now, this is post-COVID, the numbers have dropped more because of all the losses that we have. So it's gone down to 76, I think, 75, 76.
Wow. And that's the average.
That's average.
And there's various groups of people who have lower ones, though.
No, that's average is calculated by lower and the highest
right,
combined.
But there are socioeconomic, racial groups whose numbers
always
are lower.
It's been the kings and queens would have lived 100 years
years
ago.
You see rich people back in the 1700s, they died when they were 85.
Yeah.
And you hear about people dying, but that's because they had the ability to see a doctor.
Right. They had care available, and the poor people would not have it. So this number comes out of from both averaging
all
comers.
Okay. And because of that, because we're living longer, we've got a better chance then of getting things.
Yeah, we're living longer, fortunately, for lots of, I think my thoughts on that is that it's a big results of antibiotics from beginning of 19th century that we have been able to use. So that definitely increased longevity. People were dying with small infections and repeated infections.
Oh, yeah.
Those have penicillin. Actually been taken care so well with these antibiotics. So the antibiotics, antiviral, antifungal, all those combined group of infectious diseases has really improved. The second big push came from our cardiologist colleagues. Last 15 years, the cardiologists deaths which were happening from MIs and other things that have reduced substantially. And that led to increased longevity in most of our senior people. So much better. And so this actually, it was actually higher before. And then this recent COVID dropped the numbers down to. But I'm hoping it will get better.
That was 2 years in a row. I had COVID. I didn't even know it. I went down to the VA to get, because I was getting ready to leave and my nose was running, mm-hmm. so I figured it's sinus condition. Mm-hmm. They sticked it up, give me a swab, say, yeah, you got a sinus thing. And then call me that day and tell me I have COVID. And I said, no, I don't. And she said, there's just silence on the other end. And she goes, well, your test says that you do. And I thought about it and I thought, okay.
Yeah.
Perhaps I do. She said, when did your nose start running? And I could have told her last year, really. But I said, 7 days ago. She said, well, please isolate yourself for the next 4 days, which I took as a vacation, and I did. I isolated myself and took the test again 4 days later, and I didn't have it. So, but I wasn't, I was probably like the vast majority of people. Got it, I may go to bed for a few days, but then got up and walked away from it. But there were so many.
Yeah, see, I think all of us got it. It's
a
virus.
I think everybody did.
It's virus.
I think very Nathan difficult. Still has it.
Everybody, yeah. I think, got exposed to it. Everybody.
Yeah. How could you not?
Our own bodies took care of it. And most of us did not get symptoms, but some of us did get symptoms. And some of us did get really bad symptoms. That some of us died. So there is a wide range of how our immune system, all of ours, dealt with it. But I think there is no way to isolate a virus from the air. It's just thinking God.
Yeah.
To take away one, organism from the environment, it doesn't happen like that. So we have to completely bubble wrap ourselves to not have exposed to any air.
Yeah.
Or there's no way of doing that.
Yeah, like the kid in the bubble had to live in a bubble because he was, just regular life
would
have killed
him. I think all of us got it and some of us got multiple times too.
So I think so.
As long as we dealt with it, as long as we are, okay, all of us, mostly, as there have been casualties, I'm not denying it, but,
Okay. Now, one of the things you talked about is mm-hmm. there's mammograms, but mm-hmm. then there's another, there's new technology out there to
We
help.
Can do ultrasounds. There are MRIs available for high-risk patients because especially younger people have dense breasts. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure if there is anything going on, then MRIs are more useful in those than even the mammograms for the early detection.
I've heard this before. What is a dense breast?
It's basically, there's a radiological criteria mm-hmm. of thickness of the breast tissue. So the connective tissue is more dense. And as we get older, the connective tissue from everywhere in our body gets thinned out. So it's easier to do mammograms in older patients, actually.
Oh, okay.
But younger patients, because of this connective tissue, the readings on the mammograms can sometimes be erroneous.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure if there is a high-risk situation in a family, you have a high cancer risk, then early mammograms starting at the age when the age when the first detected case, that's recommended.
Okay. So there are, are there more advances that you see in the future that's going to make it even easier and clearer or?
Right now, what we have is these 3D mammograms, which I was just saying, that they take three-dimensional x-rays, basically, ultrasound, MRIs. And that's basically
that's about it for now.
But I'm sure there is more research going on in this area to improve the screenings and do better at it.
Okay. We're here with Dr. Pramila Dhanuka from Pace Cancer Center. We're talking, it's Think Pink, but it's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The big thing for people is since breast cancer is found early, it can be cured. I mean, totally. And you live your full life. And there's many people that that's happened to. Many, many people. So, but you have to go in and get tested. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Northern Firearms Instruction. You know, Ted Leidy started this company 15 years ago. And he has grown into the largest privately owned firearms instruction company.
And he's, like, really nice.
He's, like, really nice. My brother. But also, the fact is, because of the work he does, and he works extremely hard in his training of his instructors and all this, he's taken over the training in all the Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Sportsman's Warehouses, plus just regular classes that are held in something like, you know, now it's going to be something like 50 counties.
Wow.
It's the most thorough training you're going to get. You walk away with a handout or a book that has everything in it on laws, how to, you know, everything from holding a pistol to all the laws to safely storage a pistol. That's Northern Firearms Instruction. Give them a call at 530-999-1822 or go to usgunpro.com to sign up for a class. We'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Axiom Repertory Theater wants to thank the Rancheria for their generous grant to help support the arts and our theater in the community. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner.
Hey, from all of us at Riddick Sports Club, we want to thank Redding Rancheria for all that you guys do for the community and for helping us out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
My name is Brenda Lunty. My husband and I have owned San Francisco Deli for 30 years and been a resident of Shasta County for 40 years. I first met Kevin as a customer in our deli. When he decided to run for supervisor of District 1, where I live, I was happy to offer my support. At a recent reception, a woman mentioned she had difficulty contacting local officials, trying to get answers. No one would return her calls. Kevin immediately offered her and everyone else his phone number. He was willing to talk to groups, small or large, one-on-one, to anyone who had questions about who Kevin Cry was or anything else they might have concerns about. I believe he is someone who will be accessible to those who put him in office, not just the elite. Every Shasta County voter deserves to have access to our officials to get answers to their questions and concerns. I'm confident Kevin is that guy. I am endorsing Kevin Cry for District 1. Thank you, Brenda Lunty.
This ad paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Cry. Supervisor, District 1.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft.
Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
From our family at Market Street, Bladen Barrel, thank you, Reading Rancheria, for all you do. You guys rock the community. Thanks again. See you soon.
From the family of Trendy, we want to thank Reading Rancheria for all you have done for the businesses of the community of Reading. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back. Did you hear me talking about that?
I didn't. No, I was listening to music.
We're talking about a friend of ours whose daughter got married. And, gosh, within 2 weeks she got pregnant, it appears.
That's wonderful.
Well, it is wonderful. It's great. But then you think our friend's going to move because the grandkids are down in Texas.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, welcome back to the show. 7:51 in the morning here on the 20th. 52 degrees out there. I'm here with Dr. Pramila Dhanuka. There is something called immunotherapy. Could you tell people what that is?
So in breast cancer, this is our poster child for the successes oncology has. I really want, I'm very happy that so far what we have achieved here. And I wish other cancers, we can achieve the same results. Mortality definitely has gone down because of all these interventions that we are able to do in breast cancer. So traditionally, we have always given for breast cancer patients traditional chemotherapy, the standard chemotherapy, which we all are aware of the bad side effects, and everybody, all women are afraid of losing their hair because of that. Mm-hmm. But there are newer trends in the treatments for breast cancer, which are coming up more and more recently. Target therapies have been around for almost 10 years now. Mm-hmm. The newer target therapies for last 4 years, we have been using 4 or 5 years, and they have done great job.
That's using the immune system the body has.
I'm coming to that. Then after, more recent ones are immunotherapies. What happens, Carl, in our body, the cancer bypasses our own immune system or basically bribes our own immune system to proliferate.
Right.
Right? So what we do with these immunotherapies are we re-recruit our own immune system to go after the cancer cells. And that's how they work. So they are new kid in this whole gamut of treatments that we have. Their side effects sometimes can be problematic, and we really need to do good patient selection for that.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, their response rates are much higher than the previous treatments also. Just to give some rough estimate, if you think of chemotherapies, we run in the range of anywhere 25 to 35. Standard chemotherapies, response rates. And for target therapies, somewhere in 40s, early 40s, 35 to 40s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Immunotherapies, we can get response rates. Some of the studies varies from studies to studies, of course, but some of the studies it can go as high as 50%, but on an average it ranges at about 40-45.
So it's getting better.
And it
depends on the patient, like you said.
Yes.
But using your own body to fight what your own body started. Sounds to me like, you know, this is something that will continue to move forward.
It is.
So that you can be kind of protected. Now, prevention. Are there ways to help prevent getting cancer?
Where we came full circle here, where we started, right?
Yeah.
So, of course, genetics, nobody can, we are born with what we are and we just have to be careful and do good screening. And if we have a high-risk genetics, we take from there. But there are preventive things which can help us not getting or preventing the cancer from coming in. And some of the lifestyle changes, such as especially for breast cancer, weight reduction seems to be one of the big ones, watching your weight. And the reason being, most of the breast cancers are responsive to hormonal influences because, as we know, breasts respond to estrogens in our body. And most of the breast cancer does respond to it, especially the ER-positive ones. And weight reduction does play a big role in those ones.
Okay.
Especially in those ones. But in general, weight reduction helps in breast cancer. Especially if you have a diagnosis, and there is a good data there, if you have a diagnosis and there is, after your diagnosis and treatment, if you lose weight, it seems to actually help recurrences, prevent recurrences. So that's a big one there, right there. Other things that can help is, of course, alcohol, minimizing the alcohol use, no smoking. General increasing exercise activity throughout your middle ages, because that's where we tend to gain weight and increase our risk. And the environmental risk, whatever we can minimize in terms of pesticides and exposure to chemicals, radiation, all those do come into it, but not all of it in our control, I understand.
So obesity. Oreos are a no.
So obesity, exercise, and not only can it help you prevent getting cancer, it can also
prevent recurrences in people who have already been diagnosed.
And from the things I've read about many of the people that died from COVID, they had underlying conditions, and one of them was obesity and diabetes and these things that once they got into them, it just became a lot harder to fight. So, okay. Gosh, every time you come in here, I learn something that is, I mean, I'm not really worried about breast cancer.
Good.
But as you know, Linda had that infection, that breast infection, and you don't realize how serious something like this is and how fast it grows. That's why, you know, I always say really, really wonderful things about Dr. Grady and Shasta Regional. I mean, they fought that battle for 4 days. I mean, double IVs going in, all that, right in the beginning of COVID, so I couldn't visit. So, anyway, thank you so much for being with us today. And, every month is there a different cancer month every month?
Pretty much.
Well, you need to come in here then every month and talk about.
You just need to invite me, and I'll be here.
You have a standing invitation. You know that, so I realize how busy you are, but you always have a standing invitation.
Thank
so whatever the cancer is of the month, come in and let's talk about it.
Sure.
Because breast cancer is got lots of money thrown at breast cancer.
That's correct.
Tons of money thrown at cervical cancer and colon cancer. Lung cancer, not so much, but there's other cancers. Are there...
Next month is lung cancer month, so I need to be here again.
Okay. But are there cancers you're seeing now that weren't around, but they were not a big thing years ago or decades ago, but now you're starting to see them?
Actually, in our area, we are seeing a lot more. My concern is we are seeing a lot more pancreatic than I would have expected.
Oh, really?
Lung cancer, of course, is highest in our area. And, you know, we know that. So this is something, it changes area to area and exposure wise. So I don't know what's the mechanism. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But there is something to keep an eye out for.
Okay. Well, again, thank you so much for being here. Peace Cancer Center. How do people get a hold of you?
In case
they have a question, your office number.
Office number 530-247-1425.
Okay. When we come back from the break, our guest will be the Acting County Administrative Officer, Pat Minturn. And I don't know if Pat's ever been on the show in 14 years. I mean, I can't remember, you know, over 5,000 guests. Have you ever been on before?
Yeah, about 10 years ago.
About 10 years ago. Well, look, if it was last week, that was, you know, that's about my limit. So we'll be right back after the news.
Thank you for having me, Carl.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
On KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Liz Truss has resigned as British Prime Minister after just 44 days in office.
I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party.
Truss today notified King Charles that she's stepping down as the party's leader. Her low-tax economic policies triggered a financial crisis and sparked political upheaval. The BBC's Nick Eardley reports on what happens now.
Over the next week, there will be a leadership election among Conservative MPs. This is a lightning-speed change. The question now is whether the Conservative Party can coalesce around another leader, whether there's anybody that can unite the party. The answer at the moment is no. And whether the party can avoid a general election.
Truss said that she will remain Prime Minister until a successor is chosen. With gas prices inching higher, President Biden once again tapping America's oil stockpile.
The Department of Energy will release another 15 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, extending our previously announced release through the month of December.
But Katie Tubb with the Heritage Foundation says the president's approach is politically motivated and short-sighted.
The SPR release to me is, I think, being understood for exactly what it is, a Band-Aid approach. That isn't talking about root problems and solutions to those root problems.
Sales of previously occupied homes fell in September for the eighth month in a row. That matches the pre-pandemic sales pace from 10 years ago, as house hunters faced sharply higher mortgage rates, higher home prices, and a tight supply of properties. The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits fell last week, despite decades-high inflation. The Dow up 334. More at townhall.com.
These are tough times for everyone, so dealing with your timeshare may not be your biggest concern. But when this passes, do you still want a lifetime of payments, fees, and commitments for a timeshare you were misled into buying?
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started the timeshare cancellation industry by exposing the ugly truth about timeshares and giving folks the straight facts. I've been fighting the timeshare giants ever since, so no one knows this industry better than me and my team. Today, we have saved our clients an average of $65,000 in lifetime payments. Imagine putting those timeshare dollars back in your pocket. Give my office a call today. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call Wesley Financial now for your free information kit. 800-549-8866. That's 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866. Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Moscow says it will intensify attacks against Ukraine targets.
Russia's declared its intention to increase its targeting of Ukraine's power, water, and other vital infrastructure in its latest phase of the nearly eight-month-old war, while Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Moscow's forces have destroyed around 30% of the country's power stations since October 10. But Ukrainians are vowing to stand firm despite the attacks that threaten cuts in electricity, water, and heat, and they've stockpiled flashlights, candles, and and firewood, and they have plenty of blankets and warm clothing for the encroaching cold weather. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
More unrest in the occupied West Bank. Jewish settlers stormed through a Palestinian town, throwing stones at cars and using pepper spray on military troops. The rampage took place yesterday. News and analysis at townhall.com. U.S. regulators have cleared the COVID-19 vaccine made by Novavax.
The new booster option is for people 18 and older who can't get the Pfizer or Moderna boosters for medical or accessibility reasons, or who otherwise would not get a COVID-19 booster shot at all. The Food and Drug Administration says the Novavax shot is to be used only as a first booster at least 6 months after the primary shot. The Novavax vaccine is protein-based, unlike the other COVID-19 shots available in the U.S. About 48% of Americans who received their primary vaccinations have never received a booster. Mike Hempen, Washington.
European Union leaders head into a two-day summit with opposing views over if and how the bloc could impose a gas price cap to contain the energy crisis that's being caused by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, the 20th of October, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring compassion, community courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nathan.
Yeah.
And we found out it's Chicken and Waffles Day.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. Is there another one?
Oh, well, I mean, National Get Smart About Credit today.
Well, good luck with that one.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the weather look like?
All right, today's weather is going to be sunny with a high near 91. Tonight's going to be mostly cloudy in the evening with a low around 57. And then Friday, sunny with a high near 85, low around 53. But my favorite part is it's going to be about 30% chance of showers. And Saturday, 30% chance of showers. High near 70, low around 44. Sunday, high near 69, low around 47. Monday, high near 76, low around 48. It goes that way for the next couple of days.
Yeah, Wednesday's another possible. You know what?
Right.
Where I like to, you know, you like to go out and do things on Saturday outside. I trade it for a real nice rain.
Oh, you might have it.
Yeah. Let's hope so. Hey, weather reports are always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, Anderson-based company, veteran-owned business that takes care of their customers. All the propane comes out of one tank, so it comes down to customer service, and the Kenny family have discovered that that when you treat your customers really well, you keep your customers, and more people come. He has discounts for seniors and veterans, and they have deals down there for people. That's Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 530-365-3793. Hey, I'm here with Acting County Administrative Officer Pat Minturn. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
Am I catching you now because you won't be there in a while? Mm-hmm. Acting. How did that come? Well, first of all, tell us about you, how you got into county service or county government, and kind of your background in that.
Well, I'm a civil engineer by background. I went to school for that and came out to L.A. out of college and did 5 years down there and wanted to get out of that rat race. So I came up to Shasta County in 92 and started out in design, construction, and just kind of made my way around the county. And I was the public works director in 2001, 20 years public works director. And I saw a lot of things change, but a lot of things stay the same, and I got to know a lot of the people in the county. And I went to retire this year, I guess it was.
Yeah, and, yes, it was.
I announced it, and I was on good terms with everybody, and it was all a happy affair. But my boss quit right before I was going to retire, and so the chairman of the board came to me, and Les Baugh, and said, Pat, can you do a little extra time here until till the new board is seated in 2023, and I said I'd be happy to. I really enjoy the people I work with, and I know most of the folks, so while I'm kind of new to the CIO's office, I'm not new to the county.
Okay, so that was Les Ball, right?
Yes,
you've known Les a long time.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Trish Clark, and I told Pat this, and he knew it already, but she thinks the world of you. And that you, okay, Public Works. What is Public Works exactly?
Oh, well, it's engineering. It's road maintenance, snow plowing, building bridges, taking mostly state and federal money and putting it down on local roads. But we've also bridged out into the building maintenance. That was moved under Public Works around 2000. So we maintain all the county buildings, administration center, vets hall. And we also take over water and sewer, some small systems out in the outlying areas.
And I want to thank you as a veteran that we were having an event down there. And I said, you know, the vets hall is not in good shape. I shouldn't say it's very usable and all that, but, you know, it needed a touch up. And the county jumped right on that. Got painted outside, got painted inside. It's really, you know, you really spruced it up. So veterans want to thank you for that.
Well, it's the Board of Supervisors that puts out the money. It's $100,000 a year.
I know, but you put your guys on it then. So I know because of all the things that are going on, there must be 1,000 priorities, but you got that done. So when you're leaving and you decided to come back into this, did you have any doubts? Because, I mean, you had a very, very good career. So, but did you look at it as the county needed you?
Absolutely. And I knew the people. That was one thing. It really wasn't a leap of faith in that I knew all the people and I knew most of the issues that were swirling around. So when Chair Baugh called me up, I had a pretty good idea what he was looking for. And that made it really easy. I had a 20-year career, had the ups and downs of that career. So
sure.
Not every day was perfect, but I enjoyed every day and I'm still enjoying every day. And as long as that's true, I'm sticking around as long as the board will have me.
Well, now that's a little bit different than what was said before. And but I'm happy to hear it. That you said, okay, come January, you better have somebody because I've got a boat and I'm heading it to Tahiti. I mean, you didn't say that, but that's what we all say.
Well, that's still my story. My contract says that I can be terminated at any time with 10 days notice and I can leave at any time. So when there is a horizon. We all have a retirement date and certainly mine's in 2023.
You're too young.
But.
You know, I mean, in the sense of you've got all the knowledge and everything, and I really like what you just said. If there's a reason for you to stay, I think you'd give it a good look at. Oh, you're not going to say it on the air, right? Nathan, I wouldn't give you 10 days, but
oh, well,
I'd know. Give you – no, I would. I'd say, Nathan, as much as I love you, if I ever see you again. I want to take an early break because there's like three things I want to ask you, but I don't want to have to break for a commercial here. But this one, this portion of the show was brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, Linda's favorite place to hang out. I'm always safe when I walk into Four Winds Jewelry because I can say – I'm looking, you know, it's anniversary, it's birthday, it's something. And they'll say, well, Linda was looking at this. Rebecca knows me. She knows Linda. I have never made a mistake. They've got a great selection of jewelry, very fair prices. They're really nice people. It's, you know, it's not a chain store. They have a sale every year right around Christmas time. That's their anniversary. Four Winds Jewelry. They're located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. In Reading. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Doug LaMalfa. If you've shopped for groceries or gassed up your car lately, you know that inflation is getting worse, not better. There is no reason why everything we buy these days needs to cost so much more than it did just 2 years ago. The Biden administration and the Pelosi Congress are wrecking our economy with their massive spending, their regulations, and tax increases. They've wasted our precious water, neglected our forests, and ruined our domestic energy industry, making us more dependent on expensive foreign oil. Their bureaucracy, their regulations, and mandates make everything cost more, crushing small business. I fight in Washington for families' needs, not some political agenda. To keep our water flowing and our crops growing. a federal government actually managing our forests to prevent devastating fires instead of watching them burn, to cut through the nonsense to help our families survive. I'm Doug LaMalfa. I approve this message, and with your support, I'll keep fighting for what's right. Paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again. I am running for District 5 Supervisor, and I'd be honored to earn your vote. District 5 includes Anderson, Cottonwood, Shingletown, and now Happy Valley. The one thing all these areas have in common is water issues, or better yet, a lack of water. The ACID canal is empty for the first time ever, and this has caused an environmental nightmare for the South County. Wells are going dry, ponds and creeks are drying up, fields and pastures have been destroyed. Happy Valley has been facing water shortages and severe cutbacks for a few years now. And in Shingletown, Grace and Nora Lakes have been drained, plus their water storage project has been held up over government red tape and regulations. Mark Twain once said, "Whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over." Shasta County needs a fighter who will fight for the people and stand between the citizens and government overreach and red tape regulations. Water is the lifeblood of the earth, and I will fight for that lifeblood for Shasta County. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Reading loves seeing new people and families move here, looking to join our community. But when those same people run for office telling us their big city ideas can unlock the untapped potential of our home, they're wrong. It's a shame they feel that way and can't see what makes our community so special. If untapped potential means bringing San Francisco to Reading, then it's better we just leave that keg untapped. Re-electing Michael DeQuisto and voting for Marcus Pardon will make our community great. And they're going to do the work needed to safeguard our home. Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto.
Hello, this is Nadine Bailey, and one of my favorite quotes is policy, not politics. I've spent my life working on policy issues like forestry, water, and private property rights. That's why I support Kevin Cry. We need someone that understands that private property rights are not about who your friends are. I know this because I have friends on both sides of this issue. We need a strong leader who will stand up for property owners. Because next time it might not be a well-funded property owner that can afford to hire an attorney. Next time it might be your small business that government comes after. Please vote for Kevin Cry for supervisor.
I am Kevin Cry, and as your District 1 supervisor, I commit to being open and will always take responsibility for my decisions. When my opponent voted to take away the property rights of our local tribe, it threatens all property owners' rights. Shasta County deserves to have a leader that will put all people first. This November 8th, vote Kevin Cry. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. We bank with Cornerstone. We've had nothing but great service with them. They are a local bank. They're a community bank. When they say community, they mean it. Four branches, one in Red Bluff, two right here in Reading, and one in Anderson. They've been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened 15 years ago. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We're here with Pat Minturn, who is the acting county administrative officer. I want to call you the executive officer, but I guess is there something in the name executive as opposed to administrative that's different?
They're kind of interchangeable. Administrative implies more the carrying out the will of the board. Executive is a little more of a taking the lead.
Right. The
And Tuesday's meeting came up about taking the Shasta County Veterans Service Office, and which is a separate standalone department, though they do answer to the CAO, like all department heads, and moving it under, taking it out of the department status and making it a division under the CAO. Did I get that right?
Yeah, pretty close. It would move it into the CEO's office, so it would be one of the functions directly carried out in the CEO's office.
Now, not the office itself, but just the administration. So what is the pluses to this?
The pluses are that right now there's 8 approved positions in that department, but only 2 of them are actually fully trained and able to serve veterans. Some other positions are in training. They don't have any administrative background. So they're really working hard. Those 2 people are working hard to provide services to veterans. Only those 2 people are allowed to actually serve one-on-one with veterans and make sure that they get all their benefits. They're busy. And to have the distraction of a department head as well, that's another maybe a third of a person year. Maybe it's 2 days a week that the VSO needs to serve that administrative function. And there's accounting and there's the routine of how you actually input the budget data and each invoice. All that's also carried out in the CEO's office. And the VSO is underneath the CEO. So it's the same reporting relationship. By making it a division within the CEO's office, it actually elevates it from the department. But also all those administrative functions can be carried out by the existing bureaucratic staff in the CEO's office. So it's more seamless, and the VSO will still be the VSO, still has to be a veteran, and will be 100% full-time serving veterans.
Okay, so in the Marine Corps, we used to have company admin. Then it moved up to battalion admin, and then it went to regimental admin, where we pulled the administrative part of it, and the paper that grinds totally, it keeps you moving. And we consolidated it in one spot and took that onus off the company commanders and battalion commanders who already had enough to do. I look at it kind of like this. Would you describe it like that?
Very much so. County government and the military share a lot. They're both very much a hierarchy of reporting, and the paperwork and the standardized paperwork that cannot really be bent much. When I was the director of public works, it was a department of 150 people. So I had people, that's all they did was manage that interface.
Right.
But when you're a department of 8 people, it's much more difficult. There are things that can still only happen at that department level.
You can be doing a great job as a Shasta County Veteran Service Officer, but get your butt bitten through admin. I mean, that's the way it is, at least in the way in the Marine Corps, too.
And it takes time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and train people. And an administrator, there'd be fistfights over getting the next O1, which is an admin guy, into a company. Okay, look, let's just go behind the barracks and fight it out. Yeah. So there'll be no changes at all in the service of the Shasta County Veterans Service Office.
There will be more service in that.
Okay.
In the short term, we'll free up the Veterans Service Officer to fully serve veterans. And in the next few months, we're going to have additional staff coming online. There are several staffers in training right now as to serve veterans, as veteran service staffers, but they require 11 months of training. They're coming online. So within a year, we should have additional staff available. And I look forward to more robust service, more presence out there in the community, more service.
And the second part is you're looking at moving them.
Yes.
Possibly moving them, but probably.
We have a lot of things going on right now in the downtown area and in county real estate. We're constantly looking at new rental space, and we're constantly outgrowing space. But the recent parking changes downtown certainly have accelerated that. But the VSO currently is in space that they share with the district attorney, and it's fine, but the district attorney is kind of getting cramped. So it would be nice to be able to create additional space across the street to move the VSO into.
And that's what they're talking about. If you know where the VSO is here on Tehama, is this Tehama right down here?
I think so.
Across the street from it was Black Bear Diner's headquarters. So that's a large building. So they would move into at least a portion of that. So they would expand their area to be able to serve people better.
That's our long-range plan, better parking, better ADA accessibility.
Yeah, because they have a parking. Yeah, they have a parking lot behind them. Yeah,
and they own the parking lot. That's part of the building. The county owns that, and the building's in a little newer condition. But also, it would be right across the street. The worst thing would be to move the VSO somewhere into a large building where you can't find it.
Out by the VA clinic. Only thing you have to do really is move that flagpole and put it there, and then you'll know where it's at.
It's within sight, yes. So folks will be able to see.
Okay. I don't know if people realize this, but the Shasta County Veterans Service Office, besides helping veterans, brings in $2-4 million a year.
More than that, I believe. It might be well over $10 million, as I recall. It's significant. We have a high proportion of veterans in this community.
And, and Shasta County's got this sign that says we support our veterans. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. But the Shasta County Veterans Service Office has gone through its growing pains. But I hope that the county really is supporting that.
We always have been. Yeah. We always have been. It's a one-dimensional unit. It has no other distractions. The staffing is consistent, and we're here to make sure that that staff is 100% devoted to veterans. They have no other purpose in being there.
I like your style there, Pat. So we'll watch that. That when it was brought up Tuesday, they put it off for a week so they could hear from veterans. Several weeks so they could hear from veterans. I think veterans would not be against this as long as they know that hey, it's the only thing that's changing is it's going to be bigger space. Does that mean you'd add people also if you could?
Well, we need to serve every veteran that walks in the door. I think you appreciate that we want to right size. We don't want to have staff idle. Right now, our staff are very busy.
Yeah.
But I think once we have all the staff trained and in position, I think we'll have no trouble serving all the veterans. As long as every veteran that walks in the door gets served within 5 minutes or so, I think we're good.
One of the things people don't understand is this is fully county paid for, right? Or does the state give us any? Because we don't have to have a Shasta County, we don't have to have a veteran service office.
I think many counties do not. I believe it's all general fund money. I think it's a significant chunk of general fund money, a significant fraction of $1 million a year.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about, I'm going to take another early break because I want to talk jail. And then I want to talk the employment situation. So that should take the next 30 minutes. We'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Remember when filling up the gas tank didn't cost an arm and a leg? Me too.
Assemblywoman Megan Daly.
That's why I support suspending the gas tax to provide immediate relief from high gas prices and put money back in the pockets of working families.
Megan is focused on real-life issues impacting families, reducing the high cost of living, making items like food, gas, and diapers less expensive.
And like you, I'm tired of the wildfires and smoke that plague our region.
That's why Assemblywoman Megan Daly led efforts to improve forest management, put more firefighters on the front lines, and secured millions to help fire victims and communities recover. Megan's good work has earned her the endorsements of the California Professional Firefighters and California Correctional Peace Officers Associations.
California has to do better. That's why I'm fighting to fix the policies that have failed us all. Let's get California back on track and be sure to turn in your ballot.
Megan Daly for Assembly.
Paid for by Megan Daly for Assembly 2022.
Resort and Casino has Monday Night Football, the best day of the week. So come on down to catch your favorite team on any of our 16 screens inside season. Score big with our stadium stack half off during the game. Play hard, win easy with more prizes, cash, and free slot play. 49er tickets up for grabs all season long. So get your team gear on, grab your friends, and see why Mondays are the talk of the football season. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Redding loves seeing new people and families move here, looking to join our community. But when those same people run for office telling us their big city ideas can unlock the untapped potential of our home, they're wrong. It's a shame they feel that way and can't see what makes our community so special. If untapped potential means bringing San Francisco to Redding, then it's better we just leave that keg untapped. Re-electing Michael DeQuisto and voting for Marcus Pardon will make our community great. And they're going to do the work needed to safeguard our home. Paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Erin Resner, candidate for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1. Shasta County is my home, and I love our community. We continue to face tough challenges. Homelessness, public safety, and mental health are issues we all experience on a daily basis. How do we solve such complex problems? The answer is clear. Together. I have seen the strength of our community as a business owner, as mayor, and as a wife and mother. There is nothing we cannot do. Join me in the fight by voting for me on November 8th.
Paid for by Aaron Resner for Supervisor 2022.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
I could talk a lot. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. But Trish is on vacation. Imagine that. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. My barbershop of choice for the last 15 years. Never had a bad haircut. Can anybody say that? I can. Never had a bad haircut out of Cypress Square Barbershop. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointment, so you walk in, you walk out. It's man's last stronghold. You give them a call at 530-244-9478 for an appointment. I'm here with Pat Minturn. And we talked about the Shasta County Veterans Service Office because there are a lot of veterans here, and it's near and dear to our heart. It's helped me several times, you know, to get paperwork done, and that's the big thing. There are two plans for the jail, one out by the airport, one next to the jail. This is the way I understand it, so tell me when I'm wrong, and I have no problem with you doing
that. That's right.
The one next to the jail, much less expensive, can get up quicker, and we'll put 120, 240 people, and it's going to be kind of attached to the jail. The other one will be like for 1,000 people. Both of them, of course, will have new technology and all this, which means less people, hopefully. But that one is much more expensive, and it's 10 years down the road. Did I get that right?
Yeah. The existing site
was looked at over the years, and we could never come up with a way to just very cheaply add 50 or 100 beds. So nobody really took a good look at it. But the vacancy of the pending vacancy of the existing courthouse is a real opportunity. And when you look at tearing that building down, because sometimes a big old building is just a liability, you tear it down and now you've got another 4 acres right next to the existing jail. So you can reuse elements of the existing jail and add on what you want. That's the good news. And it's fairly economical. It's an urban site, so you're going to wind up with a multi-level facility. And it's going to be in the downtown core. That's a plus and a minus. Some folks are very sensitive about the downtown core. They want to reimagine the downtown area. On the other hand, that's where the courthouse is going to stay, and that's where the lawyers are that serve both the district attorney, the prosecutors, and the defense attorneys, the public defender, bail bonds, all those things are downtown. So by reusing the existing infrastructure, water, sewer, drainage, and from an environmental standpoint, it's a no-brainer. It's infill, rebuild, just tear down and rebuild. There's no endangered species in a parking lot. So that's what we've got right now. We can build there very quickly.
Okay.
Those are the pluses. The downsides are that you are reusing portions of the existing jail, if you're that's your plan. And the existing jail is a pretty blighted place.
Does that need to be torn down? Or because one of the other plans I heard was to use the existing jail once they move the prisoners out of there for homeless and mental health problems, but
boy, that isn't the place I put somebody with mental health problems. It's a mouse in a maze is how I've heard it described. There's only about 200 square foot per bed in the whole building, and it's cramped. You do not have much recreation space, and in order to access any recreation space, an inmate needs to be moved from their existing pod by elevator to a level that has a small recreation area, and the recreation areas are segregated. So you really have a very small area for recreation, very little room for any programming. They're talking about medically assisted treatment for folks who are coming off drugs or have mental health conditions, and that would be a big help. Right now, you go into the jail, and it's pretty much cold turkey. So this would be an opportunity to take that inmate and actually try to make their life a little better while they're in there and make their prospects better. But there's no space in the existing jail. The courts are going
None.
To vacate.
I've been through there. Oh, it is. You know, the people working in that jail have my hats off to them.
And that's an issue. That's why we have a problem with recruitment. It's not the pay. The pay is better than in all the surrounding counties, and yet when we attract jailers from surrounding counties, they often go back home because they say, this is not what I had expected. This is a very dense urban prison-type facility.
According to Sheriff Johnson, that the shortage of people there have caused them to close down a level. But trying to recruit, he said, we didn't pay enough.
There's some things you can't pay enough for. And working in that jail for a 12-hour shift, especially if you're called back for overtime to work additional shifts, which they are, it's a pretty bleak setting. And you're in there with some hardened criminals who are on their way for a long time. And so the jailers have to, for instance, they work in a dark setting, so that the visibility, they can see the inmates, and the inmates can't see them, because if the inmates could see them, they would be able to better track where the jailer is and when they are and their movements. And so that's the sort of thinking that needs to be constantly going on in the minds of those jailers. So the advantage to locating downtown is that we could add another couple hundred beds, and those beds could be very progressive. We could have everything integrated into the pod to where there's visitation and recreation and more space for medically assisted treatment and all those things for those couple hundred beds. But we're still going to be reusing the existing beds in the existing jail. So you only get some new beds.
There's not enough room in there for continuing pods and all that to make it a 1,000-person jail, which I think everybody agrees we need.
So now you would be, instead of just adding on to the existing jail, you'd be replacing the existing jail. And I think there is the potential for that as well, but you'd have to go with a multi-story design, a four-story design in the downtown area. And you're keeping the jail in the downtown area for another 100 years, really, practically. There are advantages that you can get a direct pedestrian access to the new courthouse, for instance, and you could build those new pods. But so those are the advantages in the downtown core.
How about the new or the old courthouse? there's a newer portion of the old courthouse and an older portion. Is there a way of going in there and rehabbing that and making it into a jail?
Often your rehab costs are as high or higher than a new building. You're better off to tear that building down. It doesn't meet seismic standards. It's got the layout is for courtrooms. By the time you do a remodel, you're spending just as much money as if you started new. And going from a courthouse to a jail, in the modern jail, is a big change. You're better off to tear it down. These are the discussions that have gone on over a number of years. But demolition, in my opinion, is the best way to go if you're going to expand in the downtown core.
Okay. If you're going to expand in the downtown corridor, the other one...
The other one is plenty of space. You have the advantage that you can acquire 50 acres somewhere out by the airport or east of Airport Road on the edge of the county-city interface out there. The advantage to that is unlimited space, and you can build one-story or two-story, and you can have fewer security concerns probably. You're starting over with a blank slate.
Uh-huh.
Those are the advantages. The disadvantages from an engineering standpoint are utilities. You have to get water, fire flows. It's not enough for a 6-inch water line. You have to have 3,000 gallons a minute to be able to fight a fire because you've got inmates that cannot flee the fire.
Mm-hmm.
You need sewer. You need power. You need redundant power so that you're
not... So there's a lot of money out there.
It's more money.
And it's a longer period of time.
And it's also the transport. You're permanently committed to moving those inmates through the interchange at Airport Road and down the 44, and there is no prospect for a direct pedestrian connection.
Okay. Well, this is something, at least we've got plans on how to do it. And the cost of it, of that one, would probably take, what, a bond issue or something like that? Or not necessarily? Or
yes, I think you're into that because the cost ballpark number is $500,000 a bed for either alternative, whether you're adding beds on the existing jail.
$500,000 per bed.
Wow. Yes. Before the Great Recession, I was saying $300,000 a bed, and that was the cost for a number of jails that have been constructed in the state of California going to bid before COVID. Now with supply chain problems, with the labor costs, adding another 8 years of inflation, 10 years really from the bid date, you're looking for planning purposes, and if you're very limited, you might be able to get it for $400,000 a bed, but my recommendation would be if you're going in up front, you don't want to go in underfunded. You need to go in with your eyes open. So for an addition, you can build just those beds, and you can get out for, say, $150
million
on the existing site, whereas going out to the new site with 1,000 beds and all the appurtenances, you're talking 1,000 beds at $500,000 apiece, $500 million. I think it's safe to say.
In today's bucks.
In today's bucks with some inflation, but this is the order of magnitude of the challenge.
Okay.
And so I think it's clear that that would be beyond the limits of the existing county budget.
Who makes that decision?
The Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
Real quick,
all right.
There was also a call-in question of what would it take to put a courthouse out by the airport if we did something like that?
I mean, after we just built this?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that would work.
That would be a few hundred million dollars more.
Plus, you've got the fact of lawyers wanting to see their clients and all that. I don't mind the lawyers driving out there, frankly. Okay. Well, thank you. That was, and there'll be more and more on this because I think this is going to be this will be a battle. Maybe not a huge battle, but people need to know that. What are we getting? I know the city would like them to move. Is there a chance that the cities of Anderson and Redding and Shasta Lake, you could get more money out of them with the new jail?
I would be optimistic that that could happen. I think it's definitely there in their best interest to see a new jail constructed because right now it's a revolving door. The inmate beats them back to Anderson. But the... it competes for other budget priorities, and we're not talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars. We're talking about tens or hundreds of millions of dollars that would have to come from the cities to really make a substantive difference in this equation.
Okay. But they could pay more.
They would be welcome.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Good morning. Quick question about the jail. I know that yesterday the sheriff had mentioned that it was more pay, and Pat saying that that really isn't the main issue. And then, Carl, when you asked about solutions to the sheriff, his answer was, well, there needs to be a better work environment. Okay, so I guess Mr. Minturn really made that come to light, and that that is part of the problem. So I think that spending a $500 million in something that will be done in 10 years for 1,000 beds, we may need 2,000 beds by then. And it, you can't really measure, if you know anything at all about construction or you've built anything or you've had anything built for you, you'll know that, that it's sort of like the bullet train. It's sort of like, well, we're going to buy this property, spend all this money, we'll be done in 10 years, maybe, without glitches, whereas we've been told that 2 to 3 years we could have this jail up and running, and we need to get the bad guys off the street. So I wanted to get Pat's reaction to that.
Okay, Terry, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, I think 2 to 3 years on the existing site is optimistic. I had said 4 years. The construction alone is going to take nearly 2 years, and then you need to go, there needs to be design and environmental. So when you add it all up, it's a 4-year project if we have a clear direction where we want to go today.
In that area, we're talking about, right, are we going to be attached to the original jail?
Absolutely. The intent okay. would be to have a good pedestrian connection to the existing
okay.
jail.
Okay, and so then it would be, it would take that whole parking lot area in there. Would,
well,
there's a little sheriff's, they've got parking down there for the sheriff. Would that go away? I'm trying to see which way it would go.
It would go north, and that was the challenge of why a lot of folks didn't visualize it. Take out the existing courthouse. Just nuke the courthouse, the entire thing.
Yeah.
90,000 square foot of building. Obliterate all of that, including some small parking lots around it, and that is your slate. And you can also okay. take out, potentially, the county buildings that are currently used by the public defender, the and probation and fleet. Eventually, that might be a longer term thing
okay.
when the jail is expanded in the future. But right now, the plan would be to go north in a big way and take out the existing courthouse.
Do you have a dog in this fight?
I'm a civil engineer. I like to see things get built.
We're going to take that was really a good answer. We're going to take a break now. This portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living, not an assisted living facility. No, this is for active seniors. Beautiful accommodations, gourmet food, transportation if you want it, activities if you choose to, want to do the activities. It's just a very, very pleasant place, and people there thoroughly enjoy themselves. For more information or in a personalized tour, probably have lunch, give Brian Martin a call at 530-238-5981 and find out why River Commons is Northern California's premier retirement community. We'll be right back with Pat Minturn, County Administrative Officer, acting.
Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again, your candidate for District 5 Supervisor. On the campaign trail, a lot of the complaints I hear seem to surround some of our county code enforcement and health department. I believe we have some great people working for our county enforcing our codes and rules, but I would like to see some of those departments to redirect their focus a bit. When we have transient camps full of filth, waste, and drug paraphernalia, I would encourage our health department to concentrate on those areas rather than the small business owners or volunteers who are already doing their best to comply with our codes and ordinances. When there are large-scale marijuana grows being conducted in our county by non-county residents and even some out-of-country growers, we need code enforcement to concentrate on the pesticides and fertilizers that are contaminating our environment rather than the unpermitted carport or the above-ground pool that isn't up to code. Shasta County is a great place to live, raise a family, and retire to, but we do have some problems. I would like to use some of our great people and county assets to help solve those problems and lessen the burden on our law-abiding citizens. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I'm a combat veteran and a political moderate. I'm pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I'm not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
I'm Max Steiner, and I approve this ad paid for by Max Steiner for Congress.
Hi, I'm Amarjit Singh, and I'm running for Anderson City Council. I have been part of the Anderson community for the past 16 years with my family. I work for the Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency and have volunteered for many community organizations over the past 20 years. As a member of the Anderson City Council, I focus on improving the health, safety, and infrastructure. As Anderson continues to grow, so does the need for more non-profit organizations to help those living below the poverty lines. There's a need for counseling center to support those affected by domestic violence. Also part of my short-term future plans would be a free homework club, a free computer literacy program, free daycare, part-time jobs for local teens, and a cooling center. I would like to build on the city's success by supporting new businesses and local law enforcement and their efforts to reduce crime, including arson, drug abuse, and homelessness. I plan to introduce more services for veterans and seniors. Vote for me, Amarjit Singh, for Anderson City Council.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
My name is Brenda Lunty. My husband and I have owned San Francisco Deli for 30 years and been a resident of Shasta County for 40 years. I first met Kevin as a customer in our deli. When he decided to run for supervisor of District 1, where I live, I was happy to offer my support. At a recent reception, a woman mentioned she had difficulty contacting local officials, trying to get answers. No one would return her calls. Kevin immediately offered her and everyone else his phone number. He was willing to talk to groups, small or large, one-on-one, to anyone who had questions about who Kevin Cry was or anything else they might have concerns about. I believe he is someone who will be accessible to those who put him in office, not just the elite. Every Shasta County voter deserves to have access to our officials to get answers to their questions and concerns. I'm confident Kevin is that guy. I am endorsing Kevin Cry for District 1. Thank you, Brenda Lunty.
This ad paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Cry. Supervisor, District 1.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Today we have, you know what, not everybody gets to see me dance.
I was going to say, you really love that song.
I do love that song. It plays every day. We do have a video feed, though, so if you want to come in there and watch. 8:51 in the morning, and tomorrow House of Realty. Oh, no, today's Thursday. House of Realty tomorrow, and a couple other guests that we have rolling in. But I'm with Pat Minturn, and who is the acting county administrative officer, even though that he and I both will go CEO, CAO, depending on which sentence we're using. I just heard some really good news, and I think people need to hear this. For years, I've heard problems with permits, with, you know, buildings and all this. And the atmosphere is changing down there. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think the atmosphere has changed over several years, at least since the car fire.
Okay.
During the car fire, Paul Hellman came in from the city of Reading. He was recruited from the outside. The Board of Supervisors was adamant they wanted to see some new blood in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul came in, and he has really shaped that department. Paul is a trained planner, so he can get the large projects through, but he's infused the entire department. And there's a new building manager, and there's a new environmental health officer, Jim Whittle, in environmental health. And these are service-oriented folks. Adam, over the permit counter as the assistant in that department. It's a new attitude and a new, and it's not that new. The car fire was 2018. Paul came in then.
Well, it's 4 years.
Taken him a couple years to get his feet on the ground, but I think the board can really see those changes. And when you watch the board meetings, and when Paul gets up, he answers the board's questions, and the board's happy. I'm not hearing a lot of complaints about today. I'm hearing a lot of complaints about how things were in years past.
And we talked about that, that if you look at the years past, yeah, there were a lot of problems, but those people are gone. And now we've got a new, in a bureaucracy, 4 years is, it shouldn't be. That's a short time. Because you've got to take people that have been there for years and change their mindset or let them go. And that's happened. And so you're saying right now, do you think it's the best it's been for a while?
I've been next to resource management for 30 years. Public Works and Resource Management shared a building, and I feel that resource management is the strongest it's been in those 30 years, no question.
Okay. So if you've got thoughts, negative thoughts, you might want to see what it's like now.
I'd encourage, yes. It's on both sides of the counter, the memories of the old ways.
Yes.
And so give folks a chance and listen and watch how you're actually, your permit's moving through the process. And if you have any issues, talk to Paul or Adam. And I think you'll find, though, that he's there to guide things through. You come in, you have an appointment, you sit down at the counter with a trained service professional, and they're going to walk you through, and their goal is to get that thing done the first time, because they don't want to have it come back and have to pull open the file either. They want to lay you out for a successful project.
A successful project to me is somebody comes in, sits down with your experts, to get the questions answered. They go out, and then they can build. And they don't go, somebody comes out there and says, oh no, you're doing this wrong, after they've already got that permit. And they've already talked about it.
As an engineer, I can tell you the best way to do a project is to design it, go out to bid with that project, and build it per that plan, and hopefully you have a contractor that has the same attitude.
Now, if you want to make changes during that time, you've got to go back.
And you need to see how that's going to affect the whole project.
Sure. Okay. What else can we talk about? I would like to get Paul Hellman on. I think I had him on while I was at the city, but I'd like to bring him on and talk about these, you know, because I'm sure he could say, yeah, we've had our problems. You just said that. There were problems back then, but now it's the best you've seen in 30 years.
I think Paul would be an excellent spokesperson for his department, and I think the board would like to have him up there and hear from him.
Okay. Well, make sure you tell him that.
I will.
So when I call him like that. I reached out to Pat, by the way, several months ago. And I understood that you said, let me get my feet on the ground. And I really appreciated you called me back and said, okay, my feet have been on the ground. And you called me back and to be on the show. And I really appreciate that, because it's so important that people know who's making a lot of these decisions or facilitating a lot of these decisions in our county.
Well, it's my job to tee up the questions for the board, and I think that's the advantage of good staff. We do not make the decisions, but we shape the board's, we tee it up so that in that one board meeting, the board can make a decision as they want to go forward. It's kind of like what you say of the permit counter. The Board of Supervisors is our customer at the permit counter, and they come in and they want to get things done, and they want to go in their direction, and a good staff sets up a staff report that answers the main questions and enables them to go forward. And the board is recently on issues with the jail and with the veteran service officer and with HHSA. They are taking a little time to review projects, and so things are coming back a couple times. But I think it's good productive time. The board gives us direction on things they want to have addressed, and then we come back in a month or two, and hopefully the board will give us direction.
The airport. I've only got a couple minutes left. Huge changes in the airport. Positive, it seems.
That's the city.
Oh, never mind. Southside city limits, so maybe not. Okay, because somebody asked me one, and I went back to him and said, that's the city, not the county, and I should have known that. But, okay, jail, of course, big projects, all that. What do you think is the next big thing we should be looking at in the county?
We have some succession coming up, to be sure. We have a new board that will be seated, yeah. And the board will take new direction, that's for sure. I have yet to meet a new supervisor that wants to stay the course. Most new supervisors ran and they went through the work of the campaign because they feel that they have something important to contribute and they really want to make a difference in their community. So definitely in January there will be a new board, two new board members, and they will provide direction. And it's not really my place as a CEO to guide that, but it's to facilitate that, to help them realize that new dream.
So your job is to run the staff, run all the departments, and execute what the Board of Supervisors wants.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for being here. And I hope that you stay until we find another one. Obviously, we're looking.
We do have a recruitment plan, and we've hired a Wendy Brown is a management consultant and a recruiter. Mm-hmm. And we've entered into a contract with her, and they're going to be coming to the board on December 13th in closed session to talk about how we're going to go forward with the recruitment.
Okay.
And it will be a widespread recruitment, but I see advantages to within my own tenure. I was able to step in very quickly, and there's something to be said for that. The few months that you lose up front and the continuing lag as a new person comes in from the outside, that's an expense to the community, and I really see benefits of promoting from within. I think we have many qualified people, both within the county and in our immediate area. The city managers and other folks in this immediate area know our community, and I think they would be known by the community, and so I think they'd be quickly accepted. But these are issues for the Board of Supervisors to consider, so there will be a quick recruitment.